Dubfod goes hard.
We're storming the Capitol. It's a revolution.
Internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, my good friend, Mr. Travis Hulse.
That's right, here every week.
Guys, the phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. And Travis, we're joined by a very special guest.
One of my favorites to appear on the show. I always love it when this person joins us.
Oh, you must be looking at the notes for last week when Dan was on.
From the Not Safe for Water Coolers podcast, Mr. Jim Chadman is here, everyone. Jim.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I hope you're well. I hope that you're not, like, stressed out about, you know, the goings-on of the world, Jim.
I'm kind of in a zen place about it all, but you, right before the show, you were complaining. You said you had lost a lot of Twitter followers in the last week. What was, is there something more to that?
Jim, now, something happened last week. It happened right after we did the show, and I think you probably know what I mean. I found out that Liam Neeson is making another one of them movies.
You gotta be shitting me.
This one looks pretty good.
Travis.
He's like trying to help like a little
Travis,
Mexican
stop.
Boy, right?
So they made...
He's like trying to get him away from the bad guys. He's got that particular set of skills.
They made Taken. Taken, his daughter was taken. And then in Taken 2, his wife was taken. And then they made Taken 3, where they killed his wife and they tried to take him, right?
That's right.
And then they
and
made
then there was that one where they took the plane.
Yeah, they took Taken on a plane, and then they made Taken on a subway. I think
Snowplow Revenge Man.
Now they're making Taken on the Mexican border, Travis.
I'm taking this illegal little boy and saving him.
Now keep in mind, Liam Neeson said he wasn't making any more of these movies like 5 movies ago. He said, it's ridiculous. I'm old.
That was right after the airplane one.
He said, guys, I'm done with this. I'm not making any more Takens. You stop calling me about Takens because I'm going to tell you no. But he doesn't tell him no, Travis. He keeps making them.
He says, how much?
Yeah, that was he probably said no, you know, before he saw that property adjacent from George Clooney on Lake Cuomo in Italy. And they said, well... Well, maybe I can get one more.
$3 million? Sure.
Oh, and he also
how many days I had to shoot? Can you get it down to 15?
Travis,
can you get it down to 12 and a half?
Did you see
the
last
use a stunt double for most of the movie? Okay, I'm in.
Did you see the last Taken where he was a bank robber and he wanted to not be a bank robber anymore and he tried to give all the money back and the FBI came and stole the money? And then he tried to blow them. He tried to take in them because
he was taking the FBI because they took the taken money.
Well, he called the FBI and he said that I'm the In-N-Out burglar. And so the FBI came and they were
was he really the In-N-Out burglar? And you're calling that a cool name or is that your facsimile of what a cool name is?
No, that's what his cool name was. He was the In-N-Out burglar.
He's the Shake Shack burglar.
So this is what he would do, Jim. He would rent the place next door to the bank. And then he would like cut open the wall, the drywall, and he'd climb in and steal all the money. And
isn't that what the lady killers did?
No, they dug like a cave hole. Yes,
they were diggers.
Okay, isn't that what Jason Statham did in that one movie? Cut a hole in the wall?
The Italian Job?
No. It was a different one. It didn't have Mark Wahlberg in it.
And then he just did like really good drywall and back, and then they came in the next day and they said, we don't know where the money went.
Yeah, they just pulled the filing cabinet back in front of the drywall.
But Travis, this Taken, he's on the Mexican border, and he's like a cowboy Taken. And I pulled this clip. It's my favorite clip ever, Travis. If you're annoyed by this clip, you probably just want to not listen to the rest of the show, because I'm probably going to play it a few times because I love it. I love it a whole lot.
I was in the Marine Corps, so I suggest you all turn around and adios.
I wasn't ready.
I was in the Marine Corps, so I suggest you all turn around and adios.
I suggest y'all turn around and adios.
I was in the Marine Corps. Of course, that is a logical conclusion to that statement.
I was a merchant marine, so I would suggest that you guys all go about your day.
I was in the Marine Corps, so I suggest y'all turn around and adios.
Is he? Is he Irish? What is Liam Neeson?
Scottish, maybe.
Scottish. He's something, and he doesn't try very hard. I suggest y'all anymore.
I don't really care about the accent work. Just the statement of fact there is what I am more interested in.
Hey, like, you turn around and you adios.
Oh no, he's just one of them UK men.
Oh, he's just from UK. I wouldn't have guessed that.
I was in the Navy. See you later. See, now I could have got a dad joke in there. It wouldn't have been racial, unfortunately. So I guess we wouldn't be able to tick that box on the script.
Well, that's how you got to do. Hey, I was in the Army, so I just suggest you turn around and sayonara.
Travis, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to William Francavilla. He wrote a book about scammers. It's called The Madoffs Among Us.
Is he part of the Hampton Francavillas?
Is there like Francavillas that are of note? I guess we could ask him.
Well, what we could ask him is that he's got this hot property coming out. Is there a way to adapt this into a Liam Neeson Taken screenplay? What can we do with the Madoff story? He's taking their money. So Liam Neeson has a certain set of skills that gets, I don't know. Let's put a pin in it.
You took my grandma for her retirement.
Jim, I was wondering the other day, I was watching the football, and I'm a new convert to football. I've just recently watched it a little bit more lately. And the onside kick, it seems like every time they do an onside kick, the announcers, they talk about how onside kicks never work.
They don't work.
But they do them. And I was wondering, and I don't know if this is against the rules, but I was wondering, why don't they just fucking peg somebody? Like, why don't they just kick it like as hard as they can, like right into somebody's chest?
I mean, I think they do try to do that.
No, they do like the little loppy do thing, and it just kind of bounces around. But like, why don't they just fucking peg them? Can you do that?
Without being too serious a football dick, like that's the hands team of professional football players. I don't think the guy can kick it hard enough to really do that to them.
No, I mean, and that's very accurate. I mean, and if you look at kickers in the NFL as of late, they can't even put it through that giant upright.
What happened? 40 to 45 used to be a given.
Yep. Now they can't hit 26 half the time. So I don't know. I don't think you're going to get a kicker that's going to be able to bounce it off somebody's chest or head. They can't even get it through the uprights.
Do you think that might maybe be they need like specialists that just do that?
Okay, we're going to carry a third roster spot for a kicker.
Yeah. Okay. Just like a guy who does like a submarine kick, you know, like like Dan Quisenberry. But
what's
for
league minimum? Like 500 grand? You're going to like tie up 500 grand of cap space just for a guy who use every five games?
You can't develop him into this deadly kickoff specialist. He would be worth the roster spot.
Oh, no, that is true.
Right. He's like really good at it, Travis. And you could like use him once a game just for the fuck of it.
Did you notice that the quarterback for the Rams, that got a neck injury. They started him in place of Jared Goff. He was from the XFL and played for the St. Louis Battlehawks.
The other St. Louis Battlehawk quarterback was the third string for the Chiefs, and he got the COVID, and then they dropped him. Yeah, he signed with the Chiefs, and they're like, okay, you're going to the practice squad. And then he like gave some people COVID. They waited till he got better, and then they're like, no, we're going to drop you now.
That's got to be some kind of discrimination, right? I think if we did that where I work, if we were like, this guy got the COVID, and as soon as he was better, we fired him, I'm pretty sure there would be lawsuits.
Do you think that's a thing?
COVID shaming?
He probably can't say anything, though, because then everybody will just label him a pain in the ass. And
it's at will employment. They're contracted employees. You don't have to do shit. You can fire them whenever you want.
That's true.
You know what the chief said?
God bless America.
Travis, you know what the chief said to him?
You're not Patrick.
I was in the Marine Corps, so I suggest you all turn around and adios.
Travis, I get the music submissions for the station that we're on, strangelabel.com, and there was a band who I listened to, and we're going to play them at the end of the show, or they're going to close us out. But what I do is I have them introduce themselves when they come on, like, you know, when they pop on and they say, hey, we're such and such, and you're listening to strangelabel.com. And
so, you remember when we used to do those bumpers? I remember when we'd sit here on a Sunday afternoon and we go back and forth saying, you just listen to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, I still had them intro us, but we used to outro them. But then we got lazy, Travis.
And as a member of good standing of this community since its inception, let me tell you that I definitely knew you guys did that and totally have heard you that happen on the station.
So, Travis,
this is not news to me that I'm hearing right now.
This band that we got one back from the other day. Most of them just do it pretty, you know, straight ahead, and they just kind of say the name of their band and the strange. They do the bare minimum, but these guys went above and beyond. And this guy did a Donald Trump intro, and I have to say, I think this is a pretty decent Trump, and I wanted your opinion on it. Like, maybe we could use this guy. Maybe we need to be this guy's friend, you know, in case we ever need to do a Trump bit. I guess it would have been more useful a couple of years ago, but
yeah, like for the last 4 years, that would have been priceless.
Yeah. But listen to this. Tell me what you think.
This is Donald Trump, and you're listening to Cap and Marble on strangelabel.com. And these guys are undefeatable. Just like Neo from The Matrix, they can dodge bullets if they have to and even do the limbo, and they can go very, very low.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
So
now I'm not going to be able to do my impression of Trump anymore. I'm going to do my impression of this guy's impression of Trump.
Oh, damn it. Don't you hate when that ruins a perfectly good impression? Yeah.
You've actually ruined this for me now, Mike, by playing this.
When everybody, I don't think anybody does George Bush. They do Dana Carvey's George Bush. They do not going to do it. Right. That's the go to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the Dana Carvey Ross Perot, too. Can I finish? That's it.
That's just queued up.
That's the Ross Perot impression. That's the only one.
Yeah. You're playing recordings, right?
No, Jim, I'm really talented.
Holy shit.
See, I played this other guy doing Trump just so that I could get into some of my good ones.
Yeah, now they'll start talking about impressions and I'll get to do mine.
Right. Yeah, I wanted to show off, Jim.
Very sly, Mike. Right.
Jim, they tried to, I don't know if you saw this on the news, but they tried to storm the Capitol. There was a bunch of kookadoodles who went and saw the president. And the president was like,
I didn't agree with everything they did.
Well, the Jamiroquai guy, I liked him.
Oh, the Q shaman with the headdress and shit?
Yeah, that guy's fun.
Yeah, he's the Q shaman.
What does that mean?
He's a QAnon shaman.
So
he's like one of the best QAnons?
Well, he's one of the more recognizable ones. You know, half the people on there are storming the Capitol were live streaming themselves. These are all just like Trump grifters and charlatans who get these, you know, accounts on Parler and stuff, and then they sell these people shit. So, you know, it was sort of a disingenuous group to begin with.
Who's they that sell people shit?
The cabal of Democrats who are eating the adrenochrome of my babies.
So what are we selling? What are we selling them? T-shirts? What are we selling?
you know, a t-shirt with a Q on it, put a Q on it, and boom, 30, 40 bucks.
There were actual merch tables set up along the March to the Capitol route selling Trump hats and shirts and flags.
You could stop on the way. So,
yeah, you forgot your Trump stocking cap? Well, guess what? We got a whole table full.
Yeah, but are those like...
Are you an Antifa imposter on your way to incite violence? Like,
are those like official Trump merch tables, or is that like the parking lot Monster Jam? The unofficial shit, you know, the stuff that somebody made in their basement.
It's like the parking spot or the campground of like a Fish concert where people all got their own wares. You know, they're selling tie-dye shirts and hemp necklaces and veggie burritos.
Like when I saw Metallica at Bush Stadium, Travis, I could buy a $40 Metallica t-shirt inside Bush Stadium, or I could buy a $10 Metallica t-shirt like on the way to my car afterwards from just like a guy with a backpack.
And I mean, they look the same. The quality might not be there, but when's the next time you're actually going to wear that Metallica shirt? Probably not for a long time. So what's the difference?
And it's this entire like tens of thousands of people, I think none of which have seen Wayne's World, which clearly states that you're not allowed to wear the shirt of the band you're going to see. And all of them just head to toe in Trump regalia. You know what I mean? Like that's where you wear your Metallica shirt to look badass in that crowd.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. Or you wear, I mean, don't you have any Reagan shirts? You should be wearing your Reagan shirts.
You remember when we used to, you know, we used to try to overthrow democracy for Reagan? Those were the days.
Yeah. So let's wear a Reagan shit to our Trump rally.
Well, if you get the right angle at it and like you kick it kind of from the side, like a submarine kick, Travis, you know what I'm saying? You could get like a straight line and just buzz somebody.
I feel like you think that all options have not been exhausted for the onside kick. Like this hasn't been tried to figure out.
I don't think people have tried to buzz people. I think that they keep going on this dumb flippity flop shit that doesn't work because that's what they've always done.
Now, Mike, as innovators. A hockey goalie, you have got to be sick of people saying, why don't we just put a sumo wrestler in goal? They're taking up more space. I think you're being reductionist to what this actually encompasses.
You know, really understanding. You joke, Jim, but when I was a kid, my heroes were all small guys. Andy Moog was short. Mike Vernon was short. They were all short. They were 5'9", 5'10". John Van Beesbrook was 5'8", Jim. But you look at him now, you're not going to find a goddamn NHL goalie that's under 6'2". They've done it. They're all big men now. They're huge. They find these monsters that are a bit agile, and that's what they're drafting now, Jim. There's no short guys anymore.
That's pretty much with every sport, though. I mean, even if you look back 10, 20 years at professional baseball players even and put them side by side, you're going to have some lanky ass, like scrawny motherfuckers in the 1980s, 1990s. And now they're all fucking jacked up. It's the same with football players. Watch some old football footage and you're like, what? Those are linemen? That can't be right. Because now everybody's 6'9", 500 pounds of muscle. It's ridiculous.
It's what we expect, neurotic. I guess. It's this NBA Jam world, Travis. We need bigger and better. We need our athletes to... Maybe it's a nutrition thing. You think that's what it is? Because maybe
is
those
really
guys
insightful,
didn't exist.
Mike, because isn't this what's going wrong in this country? And isn't this what led to last Wednesday? You know, when you really think about it?
We need bigger. We need bigger and more.
It's our insatiable appetite for bigger, better, stronger, faster.
And that's right. What's next, Jim? Is it just going to get worse?
I can't imagine, but I have a very poor imagination.
Jim,
so.
You have
can't
to
we
think...
just all settle for what we have like my wife has?
In like another 10 years, are we going to look back and this was the good old days, Jim? What if this is the good old days?
No, the things are looking up. Okay. The next pandemic, hopefully it's at least 15 years away. You know, we can't be sure of it anymore.
Well, but, what are we talking about the next one? We're still
in
this
Bitcoin's
one.
Bitcoin's up to like $30,000+.
Yeah, I actually
going
lost,
in the
lost,
right direction.
It lost a bunch of money.
So. I know, but it's still like 32.
Yeah, it's, I mean, but not as much.
It'll bounce back. It's Bitcoin.
I hope so. I got my kids' college education in 1/80th of a Bitcoin. So.
Guys, look, I think what we need to do, we need to take a break. We need to regroup. And when we come back, we're going to talk to William Francavilla about his scam man book. You know what I'm saying? He wrote a book about scam men. And we're going to talk about it.
I wipe as best I can, but there's always more.
Beep.
Mr. Bezos, it's late. I'm going to head home, if there's nothing else.
It's fine, Judy. Go home and see your family. Alexa, destroy humanity.
Okay. Like a kraken out of its cage, I'm feeling wild and free.
Don't hurt us.
Sorry, I don't know that one.
WFOB!
I went through the drive-thru, asked for extra sauce. Didn't charge me. Everything's fine.
Let me set you straight about something right now.
Live. Online and on your mobile device.
Strangelabel.com.
Hi, I'm Travis Hulse, and I have DirecTV.
No, I'm rock bottom Travis Hulse, and I still have rabbit ears.
Only DirecTV NFL Sunday Ticket gives you every game, every Sunday, all in stunning HD.
I have to watch the game down at Phil's Corner Bar and sit next to Fat Becky.
I get every single play with the most incredible picture.
Fat Becky lets me fuck her in the stall in the woman's bathroom after a few Jager bombs. And now I have to take clap medicine.
Don't be like this, me. Get NFL Sunday Ticket only on DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
Why does the way of the wicked prosper?
Once again, WFOD, wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Thank you.
welcome back. Our guest tonight is a retired financial planner turned author. His book is called The Madoffs Among Us: Combat the Scammers, Con Artists, and Thieves Who Are Plotting to Steal Your Money. William Francavilla is on the program. Bill, how's it going, man? Are you there?
It's going very well. How are you? Yes, I am.
Oh.
Yes, I am. Thank you for the introduction. Thank you for the invitation.
Bill, the book is, I guess you started it talking about kind of your experiences with the financial business, but it kind of goes through all of it, doesn't it? You even get into like porch pirates and stuff, don't you?
As a matter of fact, when I first decided to write the book, I had recently retired from the financial services business. And I have to predicate any conversation with saying so many financial advisors do the right thing. You know, they're really there for the team, and you're not going to get consciously ripped off. However, there's a percentage. It's modest, but it's out there. And they are intent on stealing your money. And there's a variety of different ways they employ their purported skills. They're very adept at ripping people off. And I said, you know what? I've known a couple. I'm going to try my best to expose these bad boys and girls out there and alert the population to the fact that you've got to be very careful. I often say that we are one introduction away from meeting a person who is intent on taking our money. And that's just not fair. And our best tool is education and to stay vigilant. So, yes, it started with my expertise in the financial planning realm with brokerage accounts and with people doing business with broker dealers and registered investment advisors. But then the more I delved into it, the more alarmed I became, because the scamming industry, and it is an industry, it's exceedingly profitable. Otherwise, it would go away. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. So the best we can do is to help our loved ones, help each other, stay alert, and, enter new equations with a degree of suspicion.
Has it just become easier? I imagine there's probably still the same amount of crappy people who want to scam you, but it's just so easy to do now. Because I guess you could throw out hundreds of emails with the click of a button now, and you know, then just the people who reply, you work on them.
It is easier for the bad guys to do, because it's an industry, as I referenced, that is fast moving, and they are on the vanguard of technology. You know, we think we're pretty smart, and we can filter phone calls, and we can be alert to incoming emails and other methods of technological communication. But they're pretty smart too. And it's almost like a running battle where the good guys versus the bad guys. And we have resources. We've got the FBI. We've got the Department of Labor. We've got the Securities and Exchange Commission. We have statewide commissions. We have lots of filters and safeguards on our computers and our phones. But my goodness, they are good. They are smart. I'm sorry. Go right ahead, please.
Something that I saw you say that I thought was interesting is, you know, when I went into reading about this, is I thought for sure that this would be primarily focused on old people, and then that like eventually, like, we're going to age out of, you know, because the generation, you know, like my generation pretty much grew up with the internet. We get the boner pills emails all the time and everything that you can get, to a point where, like, I'd like to think that I'm unscammable, which I don't think that anymore. But, you know, because I'm so skeptical of everything, I mean, like, you know, like, I wouldn't think that I could even be scammed, because I've deleted so many spam emails and phishing emails and double checked this and that to make sure that, And I don't think that like my parents or my grandparents are as skeptical because they don't know that's out there when that's just kind of become a part of my life. But I guess like my confidence is probably to my detriment.
I accept that. I think you made a lot of very valid points. However, one of the scam artists of the century was a guy named Simon Lowell, who spent time in prison because he had perpetrated so many scams against so many people and finally caught up with them. He did his time. He got out of prison. He's been writing books. He's been speaking in public. And he is quoted as saying, "I love it when people tell me they can't be conned, because in my mind, they're halfway to being conned." So I accept the fact that maybe a younger generation, there are more alerts. But surprisingly, one of the biggest targets for the scam artists are ex-geners, millennials, people who are recently graduated from college, because they have a propensity to always be on their devices. So there's an open door. And the key to a scammer being successful is their subtlety. So as smart as we think we are, and I know you are, I think I'm pretty smart myself, but we can be scammed, so we have to be so, so careful. It's their subtlety that'll reach up and get us every time.
Well, I feel like they're probably have evolved over the years, right? Like, I know Mike has had in his family, you know, some things have gone down in terms of, you know, bilking money out of a nice old lady. And I know that my grandmother-in-law, too, had it where she actually had somebody call her on the phone and say, "Hey, I'm your grandson. I'm down in Florida. I'm in jail. I need you to wire me some money so I can be bailed out," you know, and she talked to him like it was her grandson. She didn't know that it wasn't until she talked to, you know, his parents, and they're like, "He's not in Florida." And I assume, you know, obviously that these scammers are smart enough to where they realize that they have to evolve to try to take and scam people our age. Like, right. Like there's different scams for different generations.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, the grandparents scam, it's a pretty famous one. That is one of the more prevalent ones, and it works. As much information as we can provide to our parents and our grandparents, that scam still works. And it's very easily perpetrated against a person who might have some cognitive issues, might be living by themselves for the first time. I have a very good friend who was a former CIA agent, smart guy, suspicious kind of guy. He got a phone call, again, from Mexico, from his grandson, and the agent who was speaking on behalf of his grandson said, "Wire $1,700 to this account, and we can let him go." And he fell for it. He fell for it.
Bill, my grandma got the same one. I was the grandson that they said that they were, and she called my parents and asked why I was in Mexico. The same thing. One happened.
So,
I guess
it happens to this day.
Bill, my advice, I guess, to people would be to not trust anyone ever, but I think you probably have better advice.
I'm not going to go quite that far, but I am going to remind people that it's the subtlety of the person making the call or the introduction, whether it's personal or through the internet or on the phone or whatever. And it's the naivete of the rest of us. We're pretty naive. We want to trust people. You know, I just met Travis, Jim, and Mike, and I've already decided that you're good guys. Is that my problem? You know what I mean? I think you guys are candid. I trust you have a similar feeling toward me. I could be the biggest ripoff artist that has ever known. I'm not. I promise I'm not.
Well, Bill, in our defense, that's exactly what somebody who was would say.
There you go.
No, to bring it back to bring it back to where you started out talking about financial planning, in your research and experience, was the financial planner part of this when people started getting ripped off? Did it start pretty much mainly just with wealthy people who weren't really keeping an eye on their finances, people that had money guys that were, you know, pretty much handling their finances, and then they just disappeared with their money. And did it kind of just evolve into, you know, the little guy, like the Bernie Madoffs and stuff? Is like, hey, we can rip off a lot of regular people for smaller amounts of money that will total a lot of money? Or was it always kind of been, you know, with the financial planning part of it, that they'll take money from anybody, any of these scammers?
They'll take money from anybody. They have a soft market, the market that they believe are most vulnerable. And unfortunately, to your point a little bit earlier, typically it is an older person who completely trusts and doesn't want anything to do with the financial decision making, wants this other person to take care of all of their financial events and circumstances without their knowledge. They just don't. They abdicate their responsibility. Now, Madoff had an esteemed reputation in New York and in Florida. He was the go-to guy. It was considered to be a privilege if Bernie was to accept your account, because, I mean, he was slick. He says, well, I'm not so sure your account would fit with my portfolio review and strategies. You probably should take your money someplace else. Well, the more he said that, the more people wanted to do business with him. Oh, my goodness, sure. Bernie, well, you really can't question my math and my processes, because they are patented. And he used to say, I will guarantee you 8 to 10% average annual return year out, year in. And anytime you hear the word guarantee, you probably should run. At the very least, one should talk to another person. Maybe it's another advisor. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a trusted attorney or CPA, just to check the math behind the guaranteed promise. But so I had a situation. I went through my training program with a really terrific company back in 1986. And the young lady who sat next to me, she was an attorney and she was training to be a financial advisor. She wound up in jail about maybe 15 or 17 years after I first met her. She was making promises to people that she couldn't keep. And as opposed to investing their money, she was absconding the funds and building up her own wealth. Well, I knew this person personally. I trained with her for over 6 months. A wonderful lady, very smart. She's in jail, as well she should be. And that's something.
I feel like that's so smart. There's a lot of stories like that, too, where you hear, you know, just if somebody say, you know, they're the city treasurer, or they're a manager of a convenience mm-hmm. store or something, where, you know, all of a sudden they've been there for 20, 25 years. And then you find out that for the past 10 years, they've been skimming a little off the top and they've gotten away with $25,000-$50,000 from their employer. And they're going to prison. And I would feel like that's probably somebody saying, oh, just this one time, oh, I got away with it. And then they just continue to do it, where they seem like perfectly decent, normal people that maybe, you know, just made a couple of wrong decisions and then continued to do that.
Yes, and that's so right. That's so correct. And beyond that, it's their lifestyle. What type of lifestyle are they keeping? Are they living beyond their means, with the temptation so great that they just have to do it to pay their bills or to substantiate their style or their accustomed lifestyle and keep up pace with other people? It's a big scam. It's a big lie. And the vulnerability of all of us, especially seniors. I've spoken to a number of senior organizations and written a number of articles in senior magazines relative to being careful. I had an uncle who died at 90, and I was his caregiver for a number of years, helped him out as best I could, principally with his finances. Right under my nose, his immediate caregiver, who was hired by an established agency in Virginia Beach. This woman would drive him to the bank, and he would give her his ATM card. She would withdraw $500 every week. And when I found out about it, it was only after he was gone, when I was reviewing his statements, and I went into the bank and I said, tell me about what was going on with this caregiver. And they said, oh, sweet lady. And she came by and they would get cash and then they would go to the grocery store. Uncle Robert never saw a penny of it.
Did they buy the groceries with it?
I wrote the book.
And then she just kept the rest?
She took the money and ran.
She just took all of it?
Yes, that's right. She was making, you know, a couple grand a month cash, and it was almost impossible to prove.
Right, because it's just...
Hey, Bill.
It was very, very unfortunate.
Bill, during your research, did you find any of these grifters that you sympathized with at all?
No.
Okay. Because I just think, like, I think, like, it's sometimes you hear about it and you think, well, that... There was a point where that was fun for them, and it is fun to do, and there is a rush. You are hurting someone, but there's a reason they do it. There's a dopamine rush, like, you know. I'm just saying, like, the electrical impulses, sometimes you want to give in to them.
Well, I mean, go steal a O. Henry from Walmart instead, then.
Oh, yeah, you get it. I stole a pair of sunglasses from Walgreens one time, Travis, and I'll tell you what, I felt it. I felt it in my gut. And I knew I have to stop, because if I just keep going, then it only leads to trouble.
Exactly.
Hell, well, I feel you're like picking the lock into the razors case.
I feel like really an untapped market for these people who feel the need to scam is to use their bad intentions for good. Like, how much money could one of these people make if all of a sudden they started writing articles for AARP magazine? Or how much money could these people make if they started a show, you know, it's a 15-minute infomercial type show that comes on after Jeopardy, right? Like, warning older people especially of these potential scams.
Oh, Travis, I thought you were going for like a financial Dexter. Like scams the scammers.
Oh, scam. No.
Oh, that's funny. You remember Adam Neal, the guy who was starred in Catch Me If You Can, the movie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, great movie. I actually met him, and he was a brilliant speaker. But he turned around. He spent, he was nabbed by the FBI over in Paris and spent some time in a Parisian prison and was brought back to the United States, where he did his time here. But when he got, in fact, the FBI called him while he was in prison and said, hey, you know so much about scamming. Would you help us figure out who the bad guys are? And he has made a brilliant career out of helping the FBI. He's still employed by the FBI. It's been over 20 years now. So,
and that's genius. And that's like
turn it around.
That's like a whole untapped market, right? Like I know some of the more brilliant hackers who have hacked into large corporations or even the government end up on the government or those companies' payrolls. And I feel like, man, there's got to be a market for these people to use their awful talents for good and still make money.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But when you consider not just the revenues that are available to this terrible industry, but the net margins, there's no inventory. All they have is their communication skills, and they just simply steal. There was a fellow over in India who actually had 700 people working phone banks from Mumbai, focused on Americans. And it was a Social Security IRS scam, where they would just call and they would demand money from unsuspecting people. In a four-year period, he collected $300 million. His name was Shaggy. It's very, very profitable. And for someone who just wants to take people's money and enjoy a wonderful lifestyle, if they can live with themselves, it's very tempting. It's
sure.
Pretty easy.
And if, you know, you realize you've been scammed, they're in Mumbai. What are you going to do about it? You're going to do nothing. You're going to block the phone number and hope they don't call again.
That's right.
That's right.
There's very little recourse that the victims have. Now, fortunately, this guy was arrested by the Indian officials, and he's presently in jail. But I mean, there's $300 million that's gone from Americans' pockets.
Right. So, guys,
so the bottom line is here really is no matter who's dealing with your money, no matter who's like investing your money, no matter what's going on with your money, always keep an eye on it.
Yeah, pay attention.
Yes, yes. And if you don't have a keen understanding, which so many people don't, borrow the counsel of a trusted friend. Maybe it's a son-in-law, or maybe it's a cousin or a neighbor whom you trust. Just a different set of eyes looking at the statements, making certain that everything is on the up and up. Just questioning. I was amazed. My first month in the business, I was a novice and I was dangerous out there. But I remember a woman came into my office and we sat down and we started talking. I asked her what she was looking for. She had $50,000 to invest. And guys, within 5 minutes, she said, "I have complete confidence in you. Whatever you say, I will do." And I'm sitting there going, "Are you kidding me? She doesn't know me. She's going to give me, does she know I've been at this for less than 30 days? And she wants me to invest her $50,000? I said that to myself. And I invest her money in a mutual fund, so I'm fine. But it was like, holy shoot, guys. This is crazy.
It sounds like you had that crossroads right there, Bill. You could have just decided to be evil, and then you would have been in the book.
Yeah, invested it right into your own bank account.
You know, my Irish mother would be rolling in her grave. I couldn't do it.
Guys, the book is called The Madoffs Among Us, Combat the Scammers, Con Artists, and Thieves Who Are Plotting to Steal Your Money. It's on Amazon, right? Right, Bill? Where should I send people to get it?
Yes, it is.
Amazon's the best place to go?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, any of their book sections carry it. Thank you very much.
Where can they find you online? Do you have a Twitter account, Facebook?
Yes, yes. And I might have to spell this out. It's BillFrancavilla.com, BillFrancavilla.com. Or just Google Madoffs Among Us, and it'll bring you right to my website.
Perfect.
Bill, we appreciate your time. It was fun. Good luck with the rollout of the book, man.
Well, thank you. Good luck to you all as well.
Thank you, sir. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Hey, Trevor, I like Bill. Bill is a nice guy. It is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a huge problem. I mean, you personally had issues with that in your family, and I don't think it's going anywhere, right? Like Saudi prince is going to email us every couple of weeks and say that they need to deposit some money into our accounts.
Now, Travis, I get
going anywhere
emails from sexy ladies all the time telling me that they want me to click a link. And
oh, they're in your area.
Well,
are they? Is this a fact?
The weird thing is,
in your area.
Is they always send me
sexy
two
ladies?
They send me two pictures, Travis, and the two pictures are never of the same woman.
They're incongruous.
But they're saying women. Like, hey, we're this one sexy woman, when clearly they're different women, and you can tell because
Are they like of the same body parts? Could it be a Bride of Frankenstein that they're sending you?
No, they're areolas. True. They're way different, Jim. Like, I mean, they have the same hair color, sure, but you can tell by the areolas.
Maybe she just got out of the pool in one of them.
Now, Travis,
that is a very distinguished distinguishing feature is the areola. I agree.
Travis, I briefly brought it up to Bill, but I've been thinking, like, the best way to be like really good at like being like this, like a financial scammer guy is you write a book about financial scammers. And that way people will trust you because they'll think you're out to catch the financial scammers, when in fact you're the financial scammer. And people will be like, "Hey, are you a financial scammer?" I'll be like, "No, dude, I wrote a book about financial scammers."
That's awesome. I was going to ask him what he thought the best scam for me to perpetrate would be, but he just was not giving out that vibe. That was a funny question he would like to answer. So
how could you make a quick buck?
Yeah, I was like, imagine a sort of a doughy, dopey 39-year-old with just very little self-starting motivation. What is the best, easiest?
Which one of these do you think is my easiest path to success?
Is it emails or cold calls or...
I just hate going to work. I just hate it. If there's any other way.
Travis,
can I scam my workplace out of money without going to prison?
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you, you know, one of the good things about doing this program is people really know like the things that I love. And like, I don't have to do the work sometimes, Travis. Sometimes people just send it to me because they know that I love it. And one of the things that I love more than all other things is music lawsuits, Travis. And
right.
There was one that got settled this week.
This one flew under your radar.
It did. It did. I missed it when it originally happened, but they settled it because what happened was Nicki Minaj, she made a song. And she wanted to use a sample of Tracy Chapman's song. And so she called up Tracy Chapman and she said, "Hey, Tracy Chapman, I want to use your song." And Tracy Chapman said, "No, dude, I don't let people use my songs."
She said, you better get in a fast car and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
What else did she say?
She said, "Give me one reason to stay here. And I will find these rights away.
What did she say, Mike, to Nicki Minaj?
You can't use my song.
Mike.
There's only two, and Jim did them both.
What
did she say, Mike?
What did she say?
Jim did them. Is there a third Tracy Chapman song?
For Christ's sakes, we fucking teed you up.
Come on.
Got dunk on a 7-foot rim.
The fast car and the give me one reason to stay here. Those are the only two, and he did them both.
God damn it, Mike. What did you start the show with? What did she say to Nicki Minaj?
Oh, I feel like a fool now, Travis.
Jesus.
Travis,
Travis,
you teed it right up, and I fucked it up. Okay. We're going to cut all this out, Travis. Let's try it again. I got my finger on the button. I'm ready, Travis. Okay. Go ahead.
And cut out my shitty jokes, too.
Yeah, mine, too. So what did Tracy Chapman say to Nicki Minaj?
I was in the Marine Corps, so I suggest you all turn around and adios.
Nailed it.
God, I'll tell you what, Travis, we are in sync.
You guys are fucking killing it tonight.
Okay, so Tracy Chapman, she has a song called Baby, Can I Hold You? This is Tracy Chapman's.
Sounds like every other Tracy Chapman song.
It sounds about, I mean, like you didn't really have to use that. So the funny thing is, they just agreed that Nicki Minaj was going to give Tracy Chapman $450,000. That was the deal. It's like, okay, we're not going to like give you a writing credit or anything like that. Really, because it doesn't matter, because the Nicki Minaj song isn't actually on one of her albums. She tried to make it. Of course, she couldn't get the clearance. And so like it just leaked online. So she gave Tracy Chapman $450,000 for a online song.
How does a song that Nicki Minaj was working on that never got released just happen to make its way online?
I don't know. But this is what she ended up. She didn't end up using the sample. She like re-recorded the lyrics. So this is.
Hey baby, even though you break my heart,
I guess I could have trimmed this a little better, Travis.
You're forcing me to listen to a Nicki Minaj song.
Is all that you can say?
Yeah, you get the gist of it. It's
so she didn't want the beat or anything. She just wanted the lyrics.
Well, yeah, and I guess the melody. Yeah, like she.
But Tracy, like Rick D's open house party version.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Best half mil she ever spent.
Right.
So she, I guess the moral of the story is, if you contact an artist and they say to fuck off, just use it anyway and settle for $500,000.
Right. I guess it's easier to ask. No, wait. I messed it up. It's easier to say you're sorry than to ask for permission, Travis.
Exactly right. Yeah. That is wise beyond your years, Mike. Okay.
What is the name of this segment? Because I'm not on the show that often, but this is the second time I've been on the show and we have done the music thing.
I just like them.
Anytime there is a music lawsuit, it is on the show.
What do you mean the name of the segment? We don't like.
Well, because it happens so frequently, you have to call it something.
Like, I like music lawsuits, and then let's talk about it.
No, I love this kind of
case. Now the segment is done.
Music lawsuits, and I cannot lie.
Is there a pun in there? Is there?
I like music.
Something to insult my intelligence in there.
Sue me, baby, one more time.
Hold on.
I can make a theme song out of that, Travis.
Feel like we're part of the way there. Sue me, baby, one. Yeah, there it is. There's your theme song for this segment.
There you go.
See? We did it.
Sometimes you just have to ask the question, Mike. I don't want to tell you how to do your job.
Sometimes
you just have to ask the question.
Travis, you got a pick of the week, Travis?
Yeah, my pick of the week is the end of the Chicago Bears football season. ended this last Sunday. Couldn't be happier that it's over and I don't have to subject myself to their pitiful offense for one more pathetic week.
Travis, I watched the end of that game and like they didn't have very many points. And I was wondering like how come they hadn't scored any. And then, like, I watched for a while, and they still didn't score any. Travis, what was going on?
Yeah, they kept not scoring. The defense for the first half did a pretty good job of making sure the other team didn't do a lot of scoring. But then because the offense didn't do any scoring and also didn't move the ball down the field at all, the defense had to come back out often. So then those poor boys got very tired, and then they allowed the other team to do some more scoring. So, it was a combination of tired boys on the defensive side and completely inept people on the offensive side.
Do you remember
just an all-around shit show?
That sprinter man who I think he ended up killing his girlfriend, but like he was really good and like he ran on metal feet.
Is that the Petraeus guy?
Petraeus, that was the guy. Okay, you get a Petraeus guy to kick the onside kicks, and like you make him a special leg. That he can.
Here's some fun NFL trivia. The holder for the longest field goal for the longest time was a gentleman who kicked with only half a foot, so it was just all bone in the front.
What do you mean? What half?
That's why he was able to get distance before that Broncos kicker. Was it Hanson took it?
I would just put like a roll of quarters in the front of my shoe.
Was it half like horizontal or half like vertical?
I haven't seen the photo.
Like, did he have no toes, or did he have like three toes?
No toes. I don't think it's just like bone. So it's just like pow. You know, you can really smack the shit out of it.
Really, really boots it. Actually, Mike, my pick of the week this week is I just binge watched the Jordan Peele Twilight Zone on CBS All Access because I got a free trial of that for the playoffs, and I tore through all 20 episodes, season one, season two. There are some very good episodes in there. It's quite like the original Twilight Zone, where some are better than others and some are a waste of time. But there are some really good 1 hour episodes in Jordan Peele produced Twilight Zone.
Did they do the one with the monster on the wing?
No, they did one on a plane that you thought was going in that direction, but it turned out to be something completely different.
Oh. You know, Travis, I had what I thought was a pick of the week, but like just now I thought of something else that I think is going to be my pick of the week instead.
Oh, give us two.
Maybe
give us
remember my other pick of the week next week.
Okay. Yeah. Save it.
Travis, what's Hit Girl's name? What's that gal's name?
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Chloe Grace.
Oh, I want to see that flick. Did you watch it?
The fucking airplane movie?
Yeah.
It's called the Shadow in the Clouds.
Yes.
Travis, that movie's fucking fun. I mean,
I want to see that.
It's
what are you talking about? I've never heard of this.
It's stupid.
She's, isn't she like an action star in this one?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, kind of. Not really. It's pretty
she
much.
She holds a gun.
Yeah, she has a gun. But, like, she's sitting down for. Well, no, she doesn't sit down the whole time. Yeah, she's an action star. Travis, it's an action movie.
That she looks like she's aged since the last time I saw her. She looks like a gal in her mid-20s instead of a little child.
I mean,
now.
You can go ahead and say it, Travis.
Hot.
Yeah, there you go. But no, that movie's fucking fun as fuck, Travis. It's a fun movie. You should watch it if you haven't yet, because it's great.
Cannot wait, as a matter of fact.
I like fan. It like I like all of these Liam Neeson Taken movies. Like the Taken bank robber movie, loved it. It was fucking stupid.
Snowplow Liam Neeson movie, loved it. It was a great way to spend an hour and a half, 2 hours on a Saturday afternoon. And I'll never watch it again unless it just happens to be on. But in the moment,
no, Travis,
fantastic.
If I saw Shadow in the Clouds halfway done on HBO, I'd flip it on for the second half, no problem. So, guys, Shadow in the Clouds, my pick. Of the week.
Perfect. Jambalaya, do you have a pick of the week?
I have two. I also will reserve one for next week.
Yep, save one for next week.
Number one, I am recommending last week's WFOD show, where you guys just blow by drunk having COVID and the COVID policy at his work, the don't ask, don't tell COVID, like the fucking insanity that he brings to the show as far as COVID. And you guys just like, man, that's drunk.
Yeah, let's talk about bananas. Well.
Jesus Christ, fucking psychopath. Yes, I'm going to work to expose the rest of them to the COVID.
Right.
We only have 9 or 10 people.
Just went. Yeah. And then he came here.
I too would like to die for my employer and spread disease. But that's
just don't say anything.
That's what he said.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing we didn't have a show last week.
What, drunk? You would have just came over?
And given you COVID. He would have given you fucking COVID, Mike. Which is what I fucking told you after the Thanksgiving show where he's like, yeah, I'm going to my relative's house. We always have about 150 people. We mostly just feed each other turkey most of the night and just breathe in each other's faces.
Beer bongs and keg stands.
I guess whoever's by the dill dip.
Wonderful.
I was like, I messaged you and I said, don't let him back in your home. Stop.
Oh, well, I mean,
wait till he gets the vaccine.
I mean, Jim, we got to do the show, right? This is important.
You can do it on Skype, bro. Come on, the rest of us do it. And then I guess I watched that Long Shot movie from a few years ago with Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron. And that out of the movies I've watched recently, that was the best one. It was pretty fun and charming.
It's a good motion picture.
You know, I didn't see that. My wife watched one without me. And I didn't watch it.
It's fun. It's very good.
I was going to say, I mean, it was fun to watch with my wife. I was glad, you know, as a couple, we waited for each other to watch it. That's a symbol of our strong bond. But
Jim, if she watches something, I just don't see it. Because that's when I watch TV is with her.
Does it ever go the other way?
No. I mean, like, wow. I tried getting into Yellowstone, but I'm like, I could be doing something else.
I'm that way with the Queen's Gambit. I'm sure I'll like it, but
right.
I burned through that in like 2 days. And then, I was almost done with it when the wife walked in and she's like, what is this? I said, it's the Queen's Gambit. And then, by the time I was done with it, I said, hey, what do you want to watch? She's like, oh, you could put on that Queen's Gambit show if you want. And I said, sorry. All done with that.
So you're that guy.
My wife watched the first scene and flipped out and said it's too scary because she was in a bathtub or something. And she's like, this is weird. Like, the chess player lady who does. Ugh. What else we had? She stopped watching The Mandalorian, too violent.
This is weird.
Oh, couldn't watch this season's Fargo, too violent.
Oh, you know what? I never finished.
You know about violence?
I never finished this season.
Yeah, want me to show you violence?
Fargo. How did we not finish that?
Domestic?
Travis, it ended on a cliffhanger. They killed Dr. Senator.
Hey, dude, I haven't seen this season.
And then I just forgot to watch the rest.
This was not the best season of Fargo.
Should I just not watch the rest, Jim? Do I not need to?
I've done a lot better about just giving up on shows. Like, I used to feel like I had to continue watching because I started watching and invested my time, but I'm much more willing to just be like, eh, fuck it.
I did that Raised by Wolves. I went through like 8 episodes. I only have like 1 or 2 left, maybe.
I don't care. We never, the wife and I watched Mad Men like crazy, really enjoyed it, and then never watched the last episode.
Just the last one?
Very last one. Never watched it.
That is insane.
Now I feel like I don't need to.
You know, we watched New Girl.
I hate that. Like,
how long was New Girl on? Like 7 seasons? And like we watched like 6 seasons, and we liked the way the 6th season ended. And they're like, oh, we're going to do a 7th season. And we were like, nah. We just never watched it.
Travis, what was that show you said maybe 2 months ago you were watching, and I want to watch it with my wife. It was like Supermarket Sweep, but they're grilling stuff. Do you know what this is? Because I have Googled Men's Supermarket Sweep.
Are you talking about guys?
To some weird corners of the internet.
Are you talking about Guys Grocery Games?
Guys Grocery Games, yes.
The grill
stuff. Where is that to be found?
Food Network.
Food Network. Guys Grocery Games. Okay. Yeah, because we tried watching this new Supermarket Sweep. It was dog shit.
Not good. I watched
Leslie Jones fuck right off.
I watched about 10 minutes of that, and I was like, well, this show is dead to me.
And Travis, Elizabeth Banks is now doing the fucking Whammy show?
Give me a break.
Travis, you know what?
These retro cartoons are cool, but now I hate them, and I hate her. Well, I like her in the tight dresses.
Yeah, if you like the concept of Guys Grocery Games, I actually just watched. There's only one season. It's called The Great American Barbecue Showdown. It's on Netflix, and it's very similar, except the fact that instead of a half hour to cook, you know, they give them like 6 hours for what should be a 12-hour cook. Pretty good.
Yeah, we need something that is completely vanilla, so that my wife is not upset by it.
Guys Grocery Games is right up. I had a really good
opportunity to play it again, guys. When Jim was saying that he didn't like the new Leslie Jones, I was going to, you know.
Oh, you know what I say to that? I was in the
Marine Corps, so I suggest you all turn around and adios.
It's so good.
And that's what I suggest for our listeners. Because the show is over.
Joel McHale's hosting something now, too, and that's terrible.
Is the show over?
High-low game. No, I want to rail about this.
All right, keep it going, baby.
No, that's fine. Then go ahead in the show.
I feel like there's this resurgence of people being like, oh, we got to bring these critically acclaimed shows back. And they're pretty much hit or miss on when you bring these back. I'm very excited for the new season of Dexter, but also I'm quite leery of it. And then I see that they're bringing new back
season of Dexter.
Yeah, they're bringing back. There's one more season of Dexter. They're coming back and bringing. I'm just hoping it's
all that fucking cat or something.
It's just to redeem. It's just to redeem the lumberjack finale. So I'm hoping that he's no longer a lumberjack, and you know they do something different.
But I'm actually hoping for Strictly Lumberjack season. I want just, all lumberjack season.
Just Dexter. Oh, God, and
wouldn't
the,
that be
the
great
drama,
if they did
the
10 episodes?
Lumberjack camp.
Just did 10 episodes on like his life as a lumberjack now.
Hey, that's my axe. I just sharpened it.
Right.
You guys get to episode 3 where they were measuring planks for 25 minutes. It was fucking blew my mind.
That Dexter bought a new planer.
That would be the best troll ever. Like if they just did a whole season, he didn't kill anyone. He didn't talk about killing anyone. He just chopped wood. And that's
He's just lumberjacked.
Oh my God. They would be fucking heroes if they made that.
Just the interworkings of a lumberjack camp.
Right. I mean, like, don't even have dialogue. Just have Michael C. Hall cut wood for an hour. And that's
lumberjacks. Yeah, they're quiet a bunch.
Well, they can talk. They can talk when it's like time to take a break. Like, hey, Bill, I'm going to go take my break now.
Got a bologna sandwich.
Chicken soup in my thermos.
After that lunch, I'm going to go cut more wood, I think. Well, all right.
Hey, did you guys get all that oak taken care of? Oh, no? Do you need a hand? Okay, I'll be right over.
What's your guys' favorite part of the job? I like shouting timber.
And then maybe he could, like, call some of the old characters just on the phone and be like, hey, how's things going over there? And they'd be like, eh, okay.
Hey,
cool.
Hey, Matsuka, I got this new red oak that they just bust in here that we're taking down. I remember you're a fan of red oak.
Man, we miss you at the station here. You were good at looking at the blood and seeing like where they stabbed the guy. You're like, oh, thanks, man. But, you know, I got my new passion here. It's cutting wood. That's it.
Wood. Yeah. I don't fashion it in anything. I don't make anything. I just, you know, just want to cut it down.
I'm cutting it down and I'm sending it off to other people and they do stuff with it. I mean, they probably
that's their business.
Build some decks. You
know? Once it's out of my hands, the sky's the limit.
I mean, sometimes do I set up, you know, the tree cutting with in a murder room and I put the plastic up everywhere just to cut the old habits die hard. That's like the first scene, opening scene. Is he's putting up the murder room, but it's just around a sapling.
Yeah, like you just see him put up the murder room. You don't see the middle of the room, and then they pan out, and it's like a tree on a fucking table that he's ready to chop.
He's got a little metal box where he keeps little splinters of all the trees he cut down.
He puts it behind the air conditioner in his trailer.
Oh, Travis, buddy. I think we should probably do this again. You think about a week? About a week from now, we'll do another one.
Sure.
Guys, be sure to check out Not Safe for Water Coolers. Jim, what day do you do that now? Are you doing it on Fridays now?
Friday. We'll be on this Friday. I had to take a little break after Shotsmas. Things got a little cloudy, a little dark for us, but we're coming out.
Guys, Friday night. Strangelabel.com. Check out Not Safe for Water Coolers. Check out Bill's book. It's The Madoffs Among Us. It's on Amazon. It's on all that stuff. So thanks for turning up in chat. Good turnout tonight. We'll do it again next week. Bye.
In the Marine Corps, so I suggest y'all turn around and adios. So I reach out and
in hope she grabs hold. What you did miss, Mike, which was my honestly favorite part of the entire program, was listening to Travis struggle when Bill asked him what the show was about.
That was tough.
What'd you say, Travis?
I said that, like, you come up with topics, God. And we talk to all kinds of different people.
Oh, is it rough, Travis? Jim, it was it, like, really awkward?
It was so bad.
Yeah. It was pretty awkward. I felt it. You know how you feel on the spot and terrified at the same time? That's, Mike, pretty much how I felt.
Mike runs the show. It's really all Mike. Anything, it's Mike. So you really want to talk to Mike about that?
Mike,
what's the show about, Travis? You've been on every episode for like 5 years. What's it about, Travis?
Nobody's ever asked me that before. Just say, it was like deer in headlights. I was just frozen for a second.
Nothing,
I was
like, nothing really. That's the answer. Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. Join us live every Tuesday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. And be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at wfodshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODix. You can also follow Matt at The Lotus Cast, Travis at Produce Travis, or Drunk at DrunkardSTL on the Twitters. You can email any of us, Mike, Travis, Matt, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. You can give us a call when we're live or when we're not. The number there is 636-487-HAND. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz and Liquid Lozenge. If you'd like to be a Patreon sponsor, it's patreon.com/WFODix. Be back next week. Thanks again. Goodbye. Yeah.
want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.